From the KTOO Newsroom in Juneau, I'm Yvonne Crumry. The pandemic offered a unique chance for scientists to sample stress levels in humpback whales around Juneau when there was very minimal tourism activity. Now scientists are looking to compare that with this year, when tourism was almost back to pre-pandemic levels. This summer, researchers collected samples of the stress hormone cortisol from whales in Juneau waters. Susie Tierlink studies whales and monitors whale watching practices around Juneau through a federal program. She says they take the samples using a dart, which probably feels like a bee sting to the whales.
In blubber, it takes weeks and months to accumulate. And so we're getting more of a cumulative average of what their physiological stress environment has been in the weeks and months prior.
Tierlink says they took those samples from blubber, which stores the hormone longer than blood does.
Generally speaking, after we take a biopsy sample, we do monitor whales for some period of time, and by and large, they go back to what they were doing before.
Yeah.
So we think that it's a pretty small impact.
That also makes sure that the sample doesn't reflect the whale getting temporarily stressed by the dart that takes the sample. A 2019 study used instruments posted on land that observed the whales without influencing their behavior. The instruments record respiratory rates, dive patterns, and speeds of the whales. This tracked the more immediate behavioral differences, minute by minute.
And what they found is that, especially as the number of boats increased, they did see faster swimming speeds, faster rates of respiration, longer downtimes, changes in direction.
That study was led by Heidi Pearson with the University of Alaska Southeast. Pearson is also the lead investigator for this year's stress study.
And so then we realized we had this really golden opportunity to look at humpback whales at a time of reduced vessel traffic.
She said they biopsied 24 whales in total, and that they're using photographic data to track which whales are coming and going.
And so we're also trying to determine if there's a change in residency or how long whales are here each year, and also how many whales are here each year, because we predict that there might be changes in how many whales are here or how long they stay depending on the vessel traffic.
Tierlink, Pearson, and their research group are expecting results from this latest round of data this spring. That will be just in time to help better inform whale watching practices in Juneau for next season. Slot machines, like most kinds of gambling, aren't legal in Alaska. But in the Prince of Wales Island community of Klowok, the local tribe is now running more than 20 machines that look an awful lot like the kinds of slots you might find on the floor of a Las Vegas casino. And it's all perfectly legal. KRBD's Reagan Miller explains.
Rhonda Wren drove from Gregg to Klowok 2 days in a row to play the machines at the Klowok Casino.
I had lots of luck yesterday. I did great.
Nearby, Robert Baza was coming away from his machine with $300. He had heard that the Klowok Cooperative Association opened the casino early last month and wanted to try it out.
It's pretty good. It's paying off.
Gaming isn't new to Klowok. Before COVID-19 came to the island, the tribe hosted regular bingo games and pool tabs. But now, they've added more than 20 bingo machines to the casino, which shares space with the tribe's mini-mart and smoke shop in the heart of town. The machines look nearly identical to slot machines. But technically, they're electronic bingo machines. And in most places in Alaska, they're illegal under state law, even under an exception that allows nonprofits to run raffles and bingo games. But here in Klowok, there's a twist. The casino sits on land held by the federal government in a trust. It predates the landmark Alaska Native Claims Settlement Act. Lloyd Miller is an attorney with the firm Sinotsky Chambers, based in Anchorage.
I mean, this is land held in trust for the benefit of the tribe.
The tribe's operation is legal under the Indian Gaming Regulatory Act. The law provides a framework for what kinds of gaming is legal in areas defined as Indian country. Miller says that's what makes it different from a recent case with some striking similarities. In 2018, the native village of Iklutna tried to open a similar slot-like electronic bingo hall in Chugiak, but they were shot down by state authorities and a federal court. Miller's firm was involved in that case. It's a little complicated, but Miller says it all comes down to land. The key problem? Iklutna wanted to open the casino on a native allotment, land that belonged to tribal members, not the tribe itself.
And when you're talking about an allotment instead of trust land, you then get into a secondary question about that asks whether the tribe has jurisdiction, ter- territorial jurisdiction over the allotment.
And to qualify, the land needs to be under full jurisdiction of the tribe.
Allotment awarded to an individual as a former chief. I mean, this goes way back in time. It was not a parcel of land taken into trust for the tribe, for the benefit of the tribe, and held in trust for the benefit of the tribe. That's a big difference.
But Kluwak does have jurisdiction over the casino parcel. The tribe also has the appropriate Class 2 license from the National Indian Gaming Commission to go with it. A Class 2 license covers things like pull tabs and bingo, including the slot-style electronic machines. It's a step behind a Class 3 license that would allow for Vegas-style games with big jackpots. That's why, equipped with the right kind of land and the right kind of license, Kluwak's casino is in business. Miller says there are other small parcels of trust land like Kluwak's, like in Angoon. Back at the casino, Tribal Administrator Lawrence Armour says revenue from the casino helps the federally recognized tribe support its members and the community.
Just starting another enterprise. I mean, the smoke shop is what we pay a lot of our tribal employee salaries with if they're not covered by a grant. And we just needed another revenue source. So it was just one of the ideas that we started discussing, and the opportunity kind of fell in our laps.
Armour says he's seen Kluwak residents come to test their luck, but also plenty of unfamiliar faces, too. Kluwak's casino is the only one on Prince of Wales Island, but Armour says that may not be for long.
I think there are some tribes that were looking into it, so we were really trying to keep it under wraps as far as progress and who our contacts were to try to get this thing off and beat them to the punch, basically.
Armour says business has been steady. He says he thinks the machines will usher in a new interest in tribal gaming, and even push out old standbys like pull tabs. Reporting in Kluwak, I'm Reagan Miller.
A group tracking U.S. political extremism has labeled Sarah Palin and Kelly Shabaka as election deniers. They are the two Alaska congressional candidates endorsed by Donald Trump. Alaska Public Media's Liz Ruskin reports.
Palin is clear-cut. When asked on a candidate survey, "Do you believe Joe Biden won the presidential election in 2020? She responded, "No." Chewbacca's statement is longer. "Joe Biden is president," she acknowledged in the survey response, but she went on to list questions about the 2020 election. She repeated unfounded allegations brought by Trump and his allies, none of which produced evidence of widespread fraud that held up in court. And in the days after the 2020 election, Chewbacca wrote a post for a right-wing blog calling for unity, but she embraced a longer string of unfounded allegations.
She went even more extreme than that statement, talking about conspiracy theories about glitches in computer programs and some of the more radical and thoroughly debunked conspiracy theories about elections in other states.
Mike Ongsted is a spokesman for the Renew America Foundation, which tracks election denialism and other threats to democracy.
And now she's tried to shift to a more palatable position on this election denialism that allows her some level of deniability, but is still rooted in those same core conspiracies and is still having the same detrimental effect on our democracy by undermining confidence and stoking fear and anger about the outcome of our elections.
The Chewbacca campaign did not respond to inquiries for this story, but she did say recently that she would accept the results of her own election.
If we think that the election was done in a way where we don't believe that there was something that went super wrong, absolutely. If Alaskans pick somebody else, then that's what Alaskans pick.
Chewbacca is challenging incumbent Senator Lisa Murkowski. Murkowski lost the support of the state Republican Party, in part because she voted to convict Trump at his second impeachment, a case rooted in Trump's refusal to accept his election defeat. Reporting from Anchorage, I'm Liz Ruskin.
Alaska election officials are worried that they might not have enough staff to work Election Day next Tuesday in two rural communities. As of Wednesday afternoon, they're looking to do last-minute hiring and training of election workers in the communities of St. Mary's and Good News Bay in southwest Alaska, which is a lot better than how the Division of Elections Director Gail Finumiai started her day on Wednesday, uncertain about 10 rural communities.
It really does take a community effort in addition to the division's outreach to find workers. And unfortunately, at this point, we've exhausted our contacts. To the best of my knowledge.
That's included working with the groups Get Out the Native Vote and radio stations. In-person absentee voting may be available before Election Day in St. Mary's and Good News Bay. It's 33 degrees. You're listening to KTOO.